from what I gather, during the presentation, there's going to be a hymn in the presentation. So he'd like to use that as the hymn. So we'll turn the meeting over to Brother Bill.
Or to his horror, I might sing one. It's good to be here this morning, and but I have to confess, I kind of miss being back at the barn that we had yesterday. That was quite an atmosphere, and it was kind of interesting because, you know, the brethren all had around the edges of the hanging on the wall different kinds of instruments that they could hook the speaker with if they didn't like him. So it was kind of an interesting environment. But we appreciated that, and especially the temporal food, which I really enjoyed too, I have to confess. This morning, we have chosen the subject of the joyful sound, and we're really talking about the Jubilee and the Jubilee trumpet here as the joyful sound. Kind of to go backwards a little bit, though, to yesterday's theme. Today my theme is more on Isaiah 61, in a sense, where we're looking at that proclamation of the good tidings, that announcement, that publishing of the good tidings. But going back to yesterday, I just want to remind the brethren of that beautiful scripture in Isaiah 62, 2 and 3, because this is the culmination, the end product of what we are, why we're proclaiming this, where the Lord is leading this, and it's so beautiful. In Isaiah 62, 2 and 3, again, speaking of Jerusalem, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, and thou shalt be also a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God, and give him no rest till he establishes and shall he make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth." And that meant a lot to me because it shows how what the culmination of God's plan of how Jerusalem will become a praise. And how we get there is part of what we're going to speak on today. Isaiah 61, again, I'll quote more of it, the joyful message that we are going to proclaim, that we are to be proclaiming right now. Verse 1 in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to show, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them all that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." That he might be glorified. This is why the ingathering of Israel, this proclamation, the end product of it, will be now remembered in the future as the... noisy neighbors here. Why this will be the how God will be remembered as the one, not again, who just brought the nation out of the land of Egypt, but how he pulled them from all parts of the earth and made them glorious in his hand and showed them as this glorious nation and the blesser nation to all the earth. In this first verse of Isaiah 61, we see the word for the preaching of the good tidings. We see a Strong's word 1319, which is spelled B-A-S-A-R, maybe pronounced Basar or Basar, which means, as it says here, to the good news, to announce the good news, to preach, to publish, to show forth these good tidings. And it's important to see these particular Hebrew words because there's a lot of them that sound like they're saying the same thing, but they're really very, very specific, almost more specific than we can be in the English language. This Basar is really an announcement. It's not just saying something, it's a proclamation. And we see this kind of a proclamation if we turn to Leviticus 25. We see a set of verses that also has several different words in the Hebrew that are making this kind of a proclamation that are very interesting. Starting in verse 9 of Leviticus 25, and I'll just read it straight first, and then we'll go back to the words. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout your land. And ye shall hallow the 15th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Well, let's take a closer look at some of the words here. Going back to verse 9, ye shall cause the trumpet. The trumpet here is shofar from Strong 7782. The trumpet of the jubilee, the next word jubilee, is 8643 terawah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing these correctly. And the next word we see when it says the atonement ye shall make the trumpet again, shofar, sound in all your land. Down in verse 10 where it says it shall be a jubilee, we see the word yobel in this case, 3104. It shall be a yobel unto you. So we get a lot of words dealing with trumpet and jubilee that are similar sounding, but they're all a little bit different. I think it's just the... So let's look at the Strong's definitions on these. Nope, that didn't quite do it. Brother Tim's got it over there. The terawah word. If we look at that, which is the word that was used for the word, the English word jubilee, we see that it is a high, there's a lot of possibilities here, but it's an acclamation or a proclamation, a clamor or a clangor, as it says here, a loud noise, a rejoicing, a shouting, a high joyful sounding. So we see that when it says, thou shalt cause the trumpet shofar of the jubilee. Now, shofar, we have a definition here of just a curved horn or a trumpet, something that gives a clear sound. So we see that the trumpet is the instrument to give this clear sound of the message of jubilee. But then the word jubilee down in verse 10 is a different Hebrew word, yobel. And yobel means the blast of the horn, the signal of the silver trumpets or the ram's horn, hence the instrument itself and the festival thus introduced. Jubilee, ram's horn, trumpet are the way it's translated. So we see a little bit different feeling on the word yobel as versus terawah, even though they're both translated as jubilee. One seems to be a specific kind of shofar. The jubilee trumpet of the terawah seems to be announcing calling our attention to the specific rejoicing that we are supposed to have. But the The Yobel seems to be a certain signal to us. Maybe to clarify this, let's look at a couple of other items. Brother Russell, in reprint 1440, says, "A sound faith is for the purpose of leading to good works." A sound faith is for the purpose of leading to good works. And then he goes on to say, "So the activity of service is necessary for the continued purity of faith." A sound faith is for the purpose of leading to good works, and so the activity of service is necessary for the continued purity of faith. Now, I'm bringing this in because by faith do we see the trumpet sounding. Can we tell that it's sounding? Is it a yobel to us? Is it a signal to us? And here it's the signal in Leviticus of the return. It's the signal to us that this is the time. That this is the time for the proclaiming of this message that we have. And in turn, if the activity and service is necessary for continued purity of faith, maybe we could ask ourselves, well then, after we've heard this yobel, now what are we doing with it in the Lord's service to keep purity of our faith? How is it activating us? It's not just a signal just to listen to and say, oh, that was nice. It's a signal to motivate us. And if we want to have purity of faith, something has to be accomplished here. Turning to Psalms 89, it says, and we can really apply this to ourselves, blessed, in verse 15 of Psalms 89, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Here again is that word teroa, the joyful sound. Here it's not translated jubilee. Remember back in Leviticus 25, the same word was, then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound. Here it's saying, blessed is the people that know the, it could be, jubilee. But it just translates the same Hebrew word, teroa, joyful sound. So we can really see, by the Bible's own definition here and how it's being translated, that it certainly is appropriate to think of this as the jubilee trump as the joyful sound. It should be one that is not only just a loud noise, but it should bring rejoicing. And then this brings us back full circle to Isaiah 61 again. Remember, just repeating in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings. Now here it's Basar 13:19, the announcing of the glad news to proclaim the good tidings, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. So we certainly have a beautiful and a delightful message that we can be proclaiming. I use that word delight because Brother Russell has a quote that I'm very fond of in reprint 54:13. Where he says, of the service, he says, quote, the little flock will serve the Lord with such delight, they will scarcely know how to cease their efforts. I just think of that. And do you feel like that? You just can't stop. It's like that fire shut up in your bones, that you can't hardly cease your efforts, that you delight in this message so much. So, then in Isaiah 18, we see another commission. It says in verse 2, go ye. That's kind of a direct, pointed command. Go ye, swift messengers. And I would like to think that you are all these swift messengers that it's speaking of here. And it says, go ye, swift messengers, to a nation scattered and peeled. Now, doesn't that sound like what we were talking about yesterday, the nation that is scattered throughout the earth, to a people terrible from their beginning hereto, a nation melted down and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth the shofar, the trumpet, hear ye. Acts chapter 15 fits in nicely with this. Verse 14 will start. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles and take out for them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof. And I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. Now that this Jubilee trumpet is sounding, we've got ample evidence, more than ever before, a tangible witness, let's call it, that God's promises are true. The rebirth of the nation of Israel that we spoke about yesterday is one of these tangible witnesses. The ingathering that was spoken of yesterday, all of the prophecies, the lovers forsaking her, all the issues that we discussed yesterday should be very tangible to us. And we, in turn, should try to explain these and make sure that our Christian friends as well as our Jewish friends can see that these are evidences that the Lord is dealing with them, and it's time. This is the time when the trumpet is blowing and we are to proclaim the good message. The regathering, of course, started with the Zionist movement in Pastor Russell's day. And he addressed this situation to the Jews in an interesting speech at the Hippodrome to the room full of the Jewish people. And I would like to quote a few things from it because it wasn't what I expected the speech was going to be about. I don't know how many of you have read the speech. It's in the Pastor Russell Sermons book. It's in the reprints. If you haven't, it was, I expected it to be more flowery, and it wasn't at all. It was just very factual, and then it ended with very abruptly with a reprimand. It's all I can call it. I mean, it's not anything but a reprimand. I'm going to read just the last part. In the speech, he goes through all of the situation of the image of Daniel and a lot of other very, very precise things that would be, he thought, were important for them to know. But then on the very last page, he ends it this way. He says to them, these experiences in conjunction with the voice of the prophets, which will henceforth more and more ring in your ears, will be the providences of God to accomplish for you more than the lines of Zionism, along the lines of Zionism, than personal pride and national patriotism. It is not my thought that the 8 millions of Jews in the world will all go to Palestine, even though it has been estimated that under most favorable conditions, the land could support more than twice that many. It is my thought that some of you, your most earnest and saintly people, will go to Palestine quickly, that rejuvenation there will be astonishing to the world. Further, it is my thought that Jews in every part of the world, in proportion as they come under holy influences of God's promises through the prophets, will go to Palestine sympathetically by encouraging those who can better go than themselves by financial assistance and the establishment there of great enterprises. Permit me to suggest that in the time of trouble, incidental to the transfer of Gentile rule to the power of Messiah, all financial interests will be jeopardized. Many of your race, growing wealthy, will surely take pleasure in forwarding the work of Zionism. As soon as they shall realize, will surely take pleasure in forwarding the work of Zionism as soon as they shall realize that it is of God, foretold by the prophets. And here comes the reprimand. And those of your people of insufficient faith to use their means in forwarding the Lord's work at this important juncture will, before very long, find themselves in the condition pictured by the prophet Ezekiel, who declared that in this great day of trouble they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. The great messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, will test and prove you as a people. Those who worship idols of gold and silver, stocks and bonds, will receive severe chastisement at his hand before he will grant them a share in the coming blessings. And that's the end. Now, I don't know if there was more after that that was not printed here, but it is just kind of interesting that he's a man of speaks right to the point. But this kind of applies. Maybe it's something that the message he gave to them is also a message that we should take to heart for ourselves and assess what we're doing, not just in the sense that he's speaking of here of creating enterprises in Israel. We're not talking about that, but it's a message that's universal of saying the time is short, God has a plan, and are we in it? Are we walking in that plan? For strengthening our faith, and as an encouragement for you all to sound the trumpet, I'd like to, in the form of a video that I put together just recently, to have you just review the promises with us today and the fulfillments to the land of Israel. And hopefully it'll be a great encouragement to you as to the Lord's workings. And if somebody could hit the lights and also those drapes back there, if somebody could close those.
And I found that we had a 2,000-year-old Jewish coin that we found digging in our front yard, planting a tree. And from that coin, my 7 or 8-year-old daughter at that time had a wonderful, wonderful conversation. It went, who would hear to drop that coin, and what happened to them? And how we came back, and where we came from, and why we came back. We saw the Bible come to life. From Tekoa came the prophet Amos. But he ends up and says, the Jewish people will come back. The Jewish people will come back to the land of Israel and rebuild. They'll rebuild their wasted cities. They'll replant their gardens. They'll replant their vineyards. never to be plucked up again.
In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God.
Like the Jews who now live in the beautiful nation of Israel, we too rejoice in the beginning of the restoration promised of God to that people. The prophetic time clock has struck. The double spoken by the prophets is complete. But Jeremiah, in chapter 16, reminds us of how Israel walked after other gods.
Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things.
Israel was to experience a time of disfavor, and this disfavor was to be the same length of time as her time of favor, which was to be the time from Jacob's death until the first advent of Jesus. Then he declared that the house of Israel was to be left desolate. This equal time of disfavor would then point to the second advent of Jesus, a pardon of Israel's sins, and a regathering to their homeland.
Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.
When it comes to this country, to this holy land, it has changed hands because people conquered Israel at the time. People exiled Israel from Israel to the diaspora. But we never lost faith in our right on this country. When we speak about right, this is the most, the strongest right that gives us the power to say to the Arab world, ours is a stronger right than yours. You came 300 years back, 350 years back. Some of you came from Iraq, others came from Lebanon, others came from Syria, and so on. But here, our nation was created. That's the place where Abraham got the first revelation of God. And in the first revelation to Abraham, God says to Abraham, go, leave your father and mother, leave your country, leave Haran and Ur Kasdim, and go to a country you have never known, to a place you have never seen, to people you have never met. Just by order of God, you go there to create a nation and to bring monotheism to the world. It's only one God and the belief in one God that can bring us to one world, to one humanity, to one society, to one indivisible society. This is our strength. This is our belief. This is with what we go.
Prophecies point to the year 1878 as the date at which Israel's double time of waiting for the king was fulfilled, and from which their return to favor and turning away of their blindness was due to date. The time after which it would be due to speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her appointed time is accomplished and her iniquity pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. From that date onward, therefore, we should see, as we should expect, marked indications of returning favor to that people, a movement toward their actual planting again in their own land and their rebuilding as a great nation. For
thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart.
In 1878, the Berlin Congress of Nations was held. Benjamin Disraeli, the British Prime Minister of Jewish lineage, maneuvered to give England a protectorate over Turkey's Middle East provinces, including Palestine. The British eased restrictions upon the Jews about buying and settling the land, and thus it appeared that the time to favor Zion had indeed come.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them.
The state did not come into existence on that great day of May 14, 1948. Nor was it the 650,000 Jews who lived in the country under the great day who established it. Pioneering activities of three generations preceded the Declaration of Independence, beginning in 1878, when the first Hebrew settlement in the country, Petah Tikva, was founded.
Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. And their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow any war at all. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come.
Psalm 102 mentions the time, yea, the set time for the return of divine favor to Zion. In due time, David, Solomon, and others represented Jehovah in the kingdom of Israel and sat upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord. Later, the kingdom was taken from Zedekiah, the last of the line of David to sit upon the throne of God's typical kingdom. When the dominion was taken from him, the Gentile governments were recognized. Gentile governments were promised a lease of power during the period when Israel would be cast off from God's favor. Then, at the end of the appointed time, the Gentile lease of earthly power in turn, and God's original provision for Israel to represent his kingdom in the world, would return. The whole period of time in which these various Gentile governments would dominate the world would last until Messiah's promised kingdom. And this period is symbolically stated to have been seven times, that is, 7 years, evidently not literal years, but symbolical. At their end, the lease of earthly power of Gentile governments will terminate in the great time of trouble foretold by Daniel. Then, Messiah shall stand up in the sense of assuming control of earth's affairs, and Gentile governments will cease. For all nations shall serve and obey Messiah. In dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a stone taken from the mountain without human aid. He watched and saw the stone smite the image on its feet, and beheld, as the result, complete demolishment of the Gentile systems. This smiting of the image in the feet symbolically represented that it will be by divine power that present institutions will all come to naught, preparatory for the establishment of the kingdom of God in their stead. Then Messiah's kingdom, symbolized by the stone, not only will fill the place where the image stood, but gradually increasing, will fill the whole earth. From this standpoint, it is not difficult for us to believe the words of the psalmist that there is a time for God's gathering Zion, yea, a set time, fixed and unalterable. I offer a suggestion. The seven times or years of Gentile domination should be interpreted a day for a year lunar time. 7 years in lunar time would represent 2,520 days, symbolically 2,520 years from the time Nebuchadnezzar, the head of the image, was recognized down to the time of the expiration of the lease of Gentile power when the stone shall smite the image in the feet. So far as I have been able to determine, the year of Zedekiah's dethronement was 606 B.C. Thus calculated, the 2,520 years of Gentile lease of power will expire in October 1914. In the chain of prophetic fulfillments concerning Israel, 1914 was deeply significant because World War marked the end of Gentile dominion over Israel. Thus, God removed the punishment of being trodden down by the Gentile nations, and Jews were encouraged to flow to Israel and take possession of the land. But Israel was still to endure the hunting that Jeremiah prophesied, another painful experience in the process of being regathered as a nation.
And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord.
The year 1948 was another significant barrier in God's providential dealings with the Jewish people. Would the other nations of the world finally recognize her as an independent state? On the day of the UN vote, there is nervousness and silence in the streets and intense prayer.
Afghanistan, no. Argentina, Argentina, abstention. United Kingdom, abstain. The United States, yes. The resolution of the Committee for Palestine was adopted by 33
1948, the armies of seven Arab nations marched upon the newborn state, boasting that they would push the Jews into the sea. Outnumbered 100-1, Israel not only repelled the invaders, but acquired more of Palestine than was granted in the UN partition plan. Remember Isaiah's words, "They that war against thee shall be as nothing, for I will help thee." In 1956, war broke out again when President Nasser of Egypt blocked Israeli passage through the Suez Canal. And again, with God's help, Israel was victorious. Then in 1967, the Egyptian leader blockaded the Gulf of Aqaba and declared that we are ready for war. In only 6 days, the forces of Israel defeated the combined armies of Syria, Jordan, and Egypt.
For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarines, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher also has joined with them. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. Fill their faces with shame, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth.
A victory has also been gained over the once barren and stony soil. And now it has been made to blossom and be fruitful.
The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God.
Trees, fruits, and vegetables now growing where there was wasteland and malarial swamps is a miracle predicted by the prophets Amos and Ezekiel.
And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, "This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins.
Settlement was started about 9 years ago by a group of families. We were the 14th family in number to come to the settlement. Today we have over 45 families here. We are probably the fastest growing settlement in the Shomron, in the Samaria mountain area. The people here, there are a good number of men who write, who are scribes, who write Mizuzot and Sefer Torahs, the Torah, and Tefillin, phylacteries. There are probably about 15 or so men who are writing. There are a certain number of men who are learning in yeshiva, learning Torah full time. Now we're living in a very, very important time that the Jews are coming home to Israel from all over the world. And this process will continue until Israel will grow to be a very large nation, and we'll start to be what we're supposed to be, a light unto the other nations, and everybody will receive their knowledge of God through us.
Come, Lord God, who sit in throne.
Well, I'm sure I can't add to that presentation. Thank you very much. It brought back a lot of memories for myself. And you mentioned at the beginning of it, the blowing of the trumpet. And isn't that what we're doing now? Isaiah 52:7, what does it say? Anybody remember? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet who do what? That proclaim, Thy God reigneth. And this is a proof that that is happening. I want to thank you very much. Before we close, this hall will be set up as the lunch room. We'll have to move the chairs out of the way and set the tables up. And they're going to be serving the food over here in a buffet-style type setup. So for the brethren that could stay behind and help us get set up, and then the rest, if they could, either go outside and mingle around while it's nice out, or the lobby area over here, and we'll get the room set up as a dining room. Okay? And we're going to, since the brother had this, him in the slideshow, we're going to be just closing with the prayer now. So we'll ask Brother Bill for the closing prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we do give Thee thanks for all the provisions You've given us, and especially Your dear Son, and we praise His name at this time, and pray that we may be forgiven of our shortcomings, and that You will overrule for anything that we've done amiss, and pray that we may be strengthened in body and spirit to serve You better. We pray this for all of our brethren the world over, and especially for the congregation here gathered this morning. And we give thanks for all things through Jesus' name.